Okay, Mr. Chairman, the time is 2:05 p.m. It's December 15th, 2021, and I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you, Matt. Good afternoon. My name is Owen Egan, and I am the chairman of the Freedom of Information Commission. This is the regular meeting of the commission, December 15th, 2021. Before we begin, I will take a roll call in alphabetical order so that the record reflects who is participating. When I say your name, please indicate that you are present. Commissioner Barry. Commissioner Chavez.
Here.
Commissioner Einhorn. Commissioner Fusashi.
Here.
Commissioner Hankins.
Here.
Commissioner Streeter.
Here.
Commissioner Winkler. And myself, Chairman Owen Egan, are present. We do have quorum. Before I continue, I would like to take a brief moment of silence in memory of Commissioner Jay Shaw, who died on December 3rd, 2021. He was a fellow commissioner, a friend, and a colleague, and we will all miss him very much. So I would like to take a brief moment of silence in his memory. Thank you. This meeting is open to the public and is being conducted solely through the use of electronic equipment due to the COVID-19 pandemic. It will be recorded in its entirety. For everyone participating in today's meeting, please remember to identify yourself first for the recording each time you are called upon to speak. All participants are expected to conduct themselves in a respectful manner at all times and not to interrupt the commission deliberations. If the commission believes any person's conduct is disruptive, that person will be placed on mute at the direction of the chairman. Further disruption may lead to that person's removal from the telephonic meeting. When the commission conducts a vote, it will be done by roll call. I will conduct the roll. The first item is consideration of the commission's of the minutes of the commission's regular meeting of November 17th, 2021. Do I hear a motion?
Mr. Chairman, this is Commissioner Streeter. I'll move adoption of the commission's minutes of the regular meeting of November 17th, 2021.
Is there a second? Is there a second? Commissioner Hankins, is there a second?
I'll second. This is Commissioner Chavez.
Thank you, Commissioner Chavez. Motion's been made and seconded. All in favor, I'll conduct a roll call. Mr. Chavez?
Yes.
Mr. Fusashi?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins? Mr. Hankins, are you there? Did we lose Commissioner Hankins?
Mr. Chairman, it's Matt Reed. I see him on the line. I just see him muted, and I don't see his camera on
now. I'm sorry.
Here he is.
Sorry, I'm having difficulty. Yeah, I should be all set. Yes, I agree.
Thank you. Commissioner Streeter?
Yes.
And Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Next, we will consider the hearing officer's reports. The hearing officer's reports are all publicly accessible on our website at www.ct.gov/FOI through links on the agenda for today's meeting. I will call the docket. If you are a party and wish to address the commission on a particular docket number, please let me know when I call it, and we will mark it ready. We will take up the cases in the order that they are called. First on the docket is docket number FIC 2020-0026, Victor Velasco versus Roland Cook, Commissioner, State of Connecticut, Department of Correction, et al. Are you there, Mr. Velasco?
Yes, I am.
And would you like to be heard?
Yes, please.
Thank you. Is anyone there for the State of Connecticut?
Yes, good afternoon. This is Tracy Brown here for the Department of Correction.
Thank you, Attorney Brown. We'll mark that ready. Next is docket number FIC 2020-0252, Victor Velasco versus Roland Cook, State of Connecticut Department of Corrections. Mr. Velasco, would you like that marked ready as well?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. And Attorney Brown, are you there?
Yes, I am.
You're there for that as well, correct?
Yes.
Thank you. Next is docket number FIC 2020-0278, Victor Velasco versus Commissioner, State of Connecticut, Department of Correction. Mr. Velasco, would you like that marked ready?
Yes, sir.
Attorney Brown, you're there on that matter as well, correct?
Yes, I am. Correct.
Thank you. Next is docket number FIC 2020-0239, Jose Perez versus Roland Cook, Commissioner, State of Connecticut, Department of Correction. Are you there, Mr. Perez?
Mr. Chairman, it's Colleen Murphy here, and Mr. Perez indicated that he did not wish to participate.
I'd entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, this is Commissioner Streeter. I'll move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
This is Commissioner Hankins. I'll second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll of those in favor. Commissioner Chavez?
Yes.
Commissioner Uzeshi?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Thank you. Next is docket number FIC 2020-0433, Karen Stevenson versus Chief Police Department, City of New Haven, et al. That matter was withdrawn. Is Mr. Stevenson there?
Yes, sir. Yes, Commissioner, I am.
Do you wish to be heard?
Actually, no. I'm kind of confused. I had my hearing already on October 25th. 2021, and the attorney representing, I guess, the New Haven Police Department and I, the documents I was requesting, I'm in the process of getting them, so I'm kind of confused. If you please forgive me, why I'm a part of this meeting.
Well, it says that the matter was withdrawn, so it sounds like you resolved the issue and you withdrew this case.
Yes, sir.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, so you don't need to be heard at this point.
No, I do not.
Okay. I'd entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, this is Commissioner Streeter. Since it was a withdrawal and a dismissal, I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Chavez?
Yes.
Commissioner Fuseschi?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
Commissioner Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Thank you, Mr. Stevenson.
Thank you.
Next is docket number FIC 2019-0748, Christopher Peak and New Haven Independent versus Superintendent, New Haven Public Schools, et al. Is there anyone here on that matter?
Yes, this is Christopher Peak, the complainant.
Christopher Peak is there. Is there someone there from New Haven, independent?
No.
Is there anyone here from the New Haven Public Schools?
Yes. Commissioners, this is Attorney Elia Alexiadis, Assistant Corporation Counsel for the City of New Haven, on behalf of the respondents.
Counsel, could you state your last name again?
Alexiadis. Alexiades.
Thank you very much. All right. Would you like this ready, Mr. Peak, or Mr. Attorney Alexiadis?
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, I agree with the recommendation, so I don't necessarily need to be heard unless.
Mr. Peak, would
I would
you
like to be heard.
Ready?
Yes, please. Thank you.
All right. We'll mark it ready. Thank you. All right, the next matter I'm going to recuse, next two matters I'm going to recuse myself, so I'll ask Commissioner Streeter to take over, please.
All right, the docket FIC 2020-0134, Catherine Camara and Rose Sobolewski versus the State Marshal, Mark A. Ramo. Is there anyone here on that matter?
Yes, Catherine Camara.
Okay.
And yes, Rose Sobolewski.
Okay. Is there anyone here for the State Marshal? Do you, Ms. Camara and Ms. Sobolewski, do you wish to be heard on this matter?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. And we'll mark this ready. And the next matter is FIC 2020-0487, Catherine Camara versus the State Marshal, Mark A. Ramo. Ms. Camara, do you wish to be heard on this matter?
No, I don't. Thank you.
Okay. And is there anybody here on the State Marshal? Not hearing anybody, and there's no objection. Is there a motion?
Yes, Commissioner Schreeder. This is Commissioner Hankins. That being the case, I would make a motion that the matter be dismissed.
This is Commissioner Chavez. I second the motion.
Okay. I don't think it was a dismissal. Was it a finding for the complainant?
I'm sorry. I believe it was 0487.
Oh, yes. Yes. Okay.
Yep. Yeah, that was a withdrawal and a dismissal, I believe.
All right. It's been moved by Commissioner Hankins and seconded by Commissioner Chavez. I'll take a roll call vote with those in favor. Commissioner Chavez?
Yes.
Commissioner Frizzeschi?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
And myself, Commissioner Streeter, votes yes. And as was mentioned, the chairman of Egan is recusing himself. The matter passes. I'll turn the docket back over to the chairman.
Thank you. Thank you, Commissioner Streeter. Next, we have docket number FIC 2020-0371, Mark Lee versus Building Official, Office of the Building Inspection and Enforcement, City of New Haven, et al. Mark Lee there, please.
Yes.
And is anyone there from the City of New Haven? No one's there from the City of New Haven. Mr. Lee, do you wish to be heard, or would you like us to vote on this?
I just got a couple questions as far as the hearing was in my favor, but I got a couple questions on the word.
You can ask the question. We'll mark it ready, and we'll call it when it comes up. All right.
Okay.
You'll be able to ask those questions at that time. So we're marking it ready. Thank you.
All right.
Next is docket number FIC 2020-0595, Ramona Sarnatro versus City of Waterbury. This was a failure to prosecute, a dismissal for failure to prosecute. Is anyone there on that matter?
Yes, Attorney Richard Scapini for the respondent. And we would just ask for adoption of the order, proposed dismissal.
Thank you. Is Ramona Sarnatro there, please? Sarnataro? All right. Not hearing her there. I'll entertain a motion.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. At the request of the respondent, I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Chavez?
Commissioner Chavez. Yes.
Commissioner Fuseschi?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
Commissioner Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Chairman Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Next is docket number FIC 20-0649, Jeffrey Moore versus Hal Smith, Chief Executive Officer, State of Connecticut, Department of Mental Health and Addiction Services, Whiting Forensic Hospital, et al. This was dismissed for a failure to prosecute. Is there anyone here on this matter? Jeffrey
Good
Moore,
afternoon,
are you
this
there?
Is
there anyone here from the Chief Executive's Office, State of Connecticut?
Good afternoon. Yes, this is Attorney Deborah Moore on behalf of the respondents.
Would you like to be heard?
No, I just request that the hearing officer report of recommending dismissal be adopted by the commission.
Thank you. With that, I entertain a motion.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, at the request of the respondent, I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Hankin, second.
Motion's made and seconded. Is there a discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Chavez?
Yes.
Commissioner Fuseschi?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Next is docket number FIC 2021-0008. Michael Bracken, Acting Commissioner for the State of Connecticut Department of Public Health. This was also dismissed for failure to prosecute. Is Michael Bracken there, please? Is there anyone there for the state of Connecticut on this matter?
Yes, Elizabeth Bannon, Assistant Attorney General on behalf of the department.
Would you like to be heard, Attorney Bannon?
Nothing beyond just agreeing with the recommendation of dismissal and requesting that the board accept that recommendation.
Thank you. I'd entertain a motion then, please.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner Streeter, this was withdrawn and dismissed, and at the request of the respondent, I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Hankin, second.
Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Chavez?
Yes.
Commissioner Fuseschi?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Thank you.
Thank you.
So we'll move. Before we consider the cases, I will ask the Executive Director and General Counsel, Colleen Murphy, to make some general announcements, please.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. As has been stated, this proceeding is being recorded in its entirety, and it'll be available on our website very soon after our commission meeting, should anybody want access to it. And second, pursuant to our regulations, oral argument is 10 minutes per side, and I'll keep track of that for the parties.
Thank you. All right, so we'll begin with the first matter, which is FIC 2020-0026, Victor Velasco versus Roland Cook, Commissioner, State of Connecticut, Department of Correction, et al. Are you there, Mr. Velasco?
I am, sir.
Are you there, Attorney Brown?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. All right, Mr. Velasco, would you like to begin, please?
Okay. My name is Victor Velasco. Hello, commissioners. This matter was continued from October 27th, 2021, due to the fact that I didn't have my my legal property to this case. To this date, I have not received anything from the Department of Correction with regards to my property. I was transferred as happened that same day, and when I arrived at the facility where I'm at now, I have not received my legal work. I've been trying to get it. I haven't gotten it. The department, they're violating their own rules to keep me from my case paperwork in this matter. So I feel extremely prejudiced and going forward with this. But I really don't know what to do at this point. I filed a federal lawsuit based on that specific issue. The fact that Department of Corrections has confiscated all of my legal work. They gave me no receipts. I have no property receipts for them. They just told me that I can't get it. I can't have it. So I'm only limited to the documents that this commission just recently sent to me. And I have before me also a brief that was submitted by the respondent on December 9th of 2021. To this end, the only thing I can do is try to wing it. So the only thing I can say on this matter, because I don't have all of my notes, I don't have my arguments that I originally wrote down, is that the hearing that I had before the hearing officer was for a video. I wanted the video for the hallway in Northern the transport from me from medical unit to the 2 East unit. And the other video was the one for the medical unit 2 cell. And I see the argument that was made by the respondent and the hearing officer that you know the videos depict locking doors, windows, and that doesn't make any sense because the locking mechanism is not exposed for prisoners to see. It's not exposed for anybody to see. There's no exposed locking mechanism. But the cell 2 in the medical unit doesn't show anything but the bed. It doesn't show anything but the bed. It's a medical unit. It's an isolation cell. It doesn't show doors. It doesn't show locking mechanism. Doesn't show anything. But according to the hearing officer's report, all videos are denied because they show locking mechanisms, windows, and it's up to the discretion of the commissioner of corrections. I agree to the extent that if a video does show locking mechanisms or a way to escape or maybe smuggling contraband, I agree. Definitely you don't expose that. But if a complainant requests an in-camera review to show that this video does not show any of this, it should not be denied. It should at least be heard or seen by the commissioner or the hearing officer, and then the decision should be made whether or not it shows or depicts anything that might be or could show an escape route or an exit, a door, a window, a locking mechanism. But not every video shows this. But the hearing officer believes that there's a blanket policy that says, well, we can deny them all because the commissioner of correction standpoint is that it interferes with safety and security. But the video doesn't. The other matter really was the fact that the Department of Corrections states, the respondent stated, well, we don't have that video. But there's been cases where the attorney general has requested video for incidents that occurred well beyond 120 days. And I had this case law. I had these cases, but I don't have access to my legal work. So I can't even present it to this hearing, to these commissioners, because Department of Corrections won't give me my legal work now. But, this 30-day retention policy, that's what they're claiming here. But in my other cases, they said it was a 14-day retention policy. And from this brief that's been submitted by the respondents, they're stating that the retention policies are the sole jurisdiction of the records retention administrator. I've never heard of that. The records retention is DOC policy. I don't see how that's the sole jurisdiction of this record retention administrator. It has to follow state law. But the bottom line is really that my argument, once Department of Corrections stated that, or the respondent stated that there's no video, and they never received my request in time, that started a whole different argument, because it is this commission's jurisdiction to address these matters. And if prisoners are stating, listen, we're filing this request, but we don't receive a timely response, or the respondent says all they have to say is we didn't receive it, and I'm showing that they did, it just makes no sense. And if there's no clear policy for prisoners to file request for freedom of information and receive timely responses, because in every case that I've gone before in this commissioner, the respondent has stated, we did not receive that request in time. We did not receive it when he submitted it. This has been every single case that I have been, and it's going to be for the next 2 cases that you hear of mine. The respondent says, well, we didn't receive it until even when I show that there's a request that they received it, they forwarded it. Excuse me. The argument was that there has to be some kind of accountability process for prisoner requests for under the FOI. That's apart from Department of Correction policy, because the FOI is supposed to be available to citizens of the state of Connecticut, not just prisoners and not just citizens, but citizens. Prisoners are supposed to be considered citizens. So if we don't have a policy stating that, excuse me, if we don't have a policy that helps us, you know, to file these timely requests and receive a timely response, then prisoners will never win their request for records. The commission is not going to be able to do anything for prisoners. The other issue is the recordings that just disappeared. Once the witness testifies for the respondent, and the hearing officer decides to favor that witness on the record, and then for that record to disappear, that's a big problem, because prisoners go before the hearing officers, argue their case, and convincingly with evidence, and still the hearing officer turns around and says, well, we don't have that hearing anymore, we have to do a do-over. So now it's a huge prejudice, because now the respondent they're going to prepare for the same argument, even though their witnesses already compromised their case. But we can't prove that because the commission recordings vanished. That's a big problem. I think that should be addressed by these commissioners. And the fact that we don't have a receipt policy when it comes to freedom of information submissions. I know that the rule or the statute states specifically, well, you have 4 days to reply to a request for records, but we're not receiving any receipts. They do this for the administrative remedies, which are grievances, when they're doing their job. Why can't we have something like this for a separate collection box in the prison, since we have liaisons for the Freedom of Information Commission in the facilities? That way, when we submit a request, it can actually be receipted and picked up and replied in a timely manner. Prisoners won't even be in front of the commission that much, not as much as they are now. I wouldn't even be. I know you guys are tired of me. So, I mean, that's all I'm asking for. You're saying that the audio, the video doesn't exist. All right. But there's still the argument, which was disappeared off the record, was that there has to be a policy. And the hearing officer, she started, that inquiry, she made a big argument about it. And then I don't know what happened. All of a sudden, the witness testifies, the hearing officer says, we're going to be in contact with you. And then that audio disappears. The whole hearing disappears. It's two different dates. These are mistakes that are happening over and over. The most recent was what? December 7th for the Bradley versus Commissioner, FIC 2020-0528, had a whole hearing and it disappeared. There's no hearing it. There has to be a do-over. It doesn't make any sense, commissioners, is what I'm saying. If we're going before this commission and we're relying on you guys to uphold the freedom of information laws, it's not happening. It's a big problem here.
I don't have the rest of my argument. But Mr. Velasco, this is Colleen Murphy. Your 10 minutes has gone by. You're actually at 12 minutes on this case. So just wanted to advise.
All right. Well, I apologize. And let me stop right there then.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Attorney Brown?
Good afternoon. Thank you, commissioners. I think, again, Tracy Brown for the Department of Correction. I think the first thing that I'd like to point out is that the complainant has raised at least two issues that are not fairly before the commission because they were not fairly raised in his complaint. And the first of which is the process of making FOIA requests through the Department of Correction, which while not before the commission is a very effective process when used properly. And it has been our contention and will remain our contention that this complainant has circumvented or attempted to circumvent that process, which results in many of the issues that he has in getting responses. The second issue that I believe he raised that is not before the commission is that is not that was not addressed in the hearing officer. Actually, it was addressed in the hearing officer's report, which had to do with whether or not the department received his request. The department contended that we did not receive his request, but this decision does not turn on that, nor does it turn on whether or not the video depicts any of the things described, such as locking mechanisms, et cetera. This decision turns on the fact that the department does not retain a copy of the video, and therefore there's nothing to offer the complainant, and the decision recommends a dismissal. So in that regard, the department would urge the adoption of the hearing officer's report as written, and if the commission has any specific questions of the department, I'd be happy to answer them. Thank you.
Thank you. Do any of the commissioners have any questions? Hearing none, I would entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Streeter, I'll move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion's made and seconded. Is there discussion?
Hearing none. This is Commissioner Chavez. I do have a question for Attorney Brown. And Attorney Brown, in paragraph 9 of the hearing officer's report, it indicates that there was a 2-month delay between when the complainant says he submitted his request for the video and when the when your clients became aware of it. Do you know what happened or the complainant is suggesting some process be implemented, which you're right is beyond the scope of this commission's purview, but it would be of concern if freedom of information requests are getting lost in the shuffle. So do you have any information about what happened here?
Yes, I do. So part of the hearing, there was testimony, and it became somewhat an issue of credibility in that the department, as I think I indicated, did not believe that Mr. Velasco ever sent his request at all. The department is under the belief that Mr. Velasco backdated his request so that it would appear as though he had submitted it at the time that he claims that he did. There was testimony, and it has been referenced by Mr. Velasco with respect to the process that mail is handled within the department, that recording of the hearing, as has been indicated to us, is not available. And to that point, Mr. Velasco suggests that it was during that hearing that he put on evidence that proved some of his points, when in fact it was quite the opposite. The department was able to prove, I think, pretty resoundingly that Mr. Velasco was not being honest, and he himself had falsely testified about certain things with respect to his request. So we don't believe that he ever submitted the request. There was not a 2-month lapse. We became aware of his request through the Freedom of Information Commission. If I'm not mistaken, C.S. Campanelli is on the line and can confirm that. And it was at that time that we searched for the video and discovered that it was not available.
Thank you. You've answered my question.
Excuse me, commissioners, this is Victor Velasco. May I say something, please?
Not at this point. Are there any other questions from the commissioners? I think we had a motion. Did someone make a motion already?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, and it was seconded.
So the motion's been made and seconded. Is there any further discussion of the commissioners? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Chavez?
Yes.
Commissioner Fuseschi?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
Commissioner Streeter?
Yes.
And Owen Egan, myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Thank you. We'll move on to the next case, Mr. Velasco and Attorney Brown. This is docket number FIC 2020-0252, Victor Velasco versus Roland Cook, State of Connecticut Department of Correction, et al. Mr. Velasco, you're still there, correct?
Yes.
And Attorney Brown, you're still there, correct?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Velasco, would you like to begin?
Yes. Commissioners, again, I don't have my property for this. I do have the report of the hearing officer, which was sent to me, I believe, through the commission. Can I ask one question before we start this? Was my request for a continuance received by the commission?
Attorney Murphy.
Yes, it's Colleen Murphy. Yes, it was received and it was denied.
Notice was sent to me?
Yes.
Can you just let me know what's the date? I'm sure you have a copy there. What was the date of the notice?
One moment. Sorry, we're gathering our files. Hold on one moment.
So I'll ask you, sir, what is it, what is your point, please?
Well, I had all intentions to prepare a brief, well, not a brief, but, a small brief for these commissioners so you can see exactly my argument on this matter. This matter was a matter where I was requesting documents that were sent to the Department of Corrections from the FBI, but it was actually initially submitted from the Department of Corrections to the FBI's to the FBI decryption unit, something like that. And I was subsequently punished for whatever this the FBI sent. I was placed into the security risk group program, and I was in there for 4 years, punished for 4 years, based on this evidence. The respondent would have you believe that they do not possess the records that I'm requesting, but their own evidence that was submitted and the documents, the evidence that I submitted to this commission on this matter shows that the emails that was received from the FBI to John Aldi says right in the beginning, I believe the FBI agent is Purvi Lakhani, and Purvi Lakhani states in his email, "Oh, I'm sorry, John, I didn't include pages. I think it was 57 or something in my previous delivery of the requested record decryption that you wanted. The respondent has never provided that. They would have you believe that there was never another package sent previous to what they're disclosing now as the records. I'm asking for those records that were initially sent, because I'm telling you, I went to a disciplinary hearing, and the respondent's stance was that this evidence that they had against me existed, and they punished me for 4 years. And now they're saying that we don't have it, that it doesn't exist, but yet they're not providing the original message that was sent from the FBI to the Department of Corrections regarding this same information. The only thing that's missing is page 88 and 100. I want to know if this does not exist, and I was punished for 4 years, this is more than a violation of my rights. This is just inhumane what they did to me. I've been through a lot. I've been through a lot of fights. I've been through a lot. I've been placed in a gang program. I fought every member of every gang in that program based on this information right here. And let me tell you, I don't think none of you commissioners would go through that, and I don't think you would even want to even be a part of any of that. I'm saying, what I'm requesting is that page 88 and page 100. This is, if it doesn't exist, then it doesn't exist. But from the evidence that's submitted by me and by the respondent, these pages were originally sent in a previous package, which the Department of Corrections, the respondent, will not disclose. Why won't they disclose this? This is what I'm requesting. This is public information. This isn't like secret squirrel stuff. You don't need any decoder ring for this. This was decoded by the FBI and sent to the Department of Corrections to use against me at a hearing. And at every hearing, the evidence is supposed to be shown to me so that I could defend myself. They didn't even give me that. I'm asking for that, and it's in the record. This is not something brand new that I'm bringing up. This is in the record. I'm requesting that. If these commissioners, you have the authority to have the respondent provide these records. That's what I'm asking for.
All right, thank you. And then Attorney Murphy, did they find his information regarding the continuance?
Yes, we did. There was email notice sent on December 10th. To the parties, to Mr. Campanelli, for Mr. Velasco, and to the DOC, to Attorney Brown. and further communication indicating that Mr. Campanelli had notified Mr. Velasco this morning, referencing Tuesday, December 14th, that the request to postpone these matters was denied.
Thank you. Mr. Velasco, based on that information, is there anything else you'd like to tell us?
Yeah, there is. This whole process with just the same matter, the same thing from the beginning, the respondent stated, we didn't receive this in time. We only received this from the commission. Now, my argument, and I wish I would have known what they were going to say beforehand, but now that I do know, I'd ask the commissioners to just take this into account. Why would I want to pay extra money to pay for postage and copies at 25 cents a page to send to this commission when the request system is free? All I have to do is fill out the request and put it in a box. I don't want to give up money for documents that I can get. I could just pay for these documents and get it over with. But the respondent wants you to believe that I'm falsifying my request. Why would I make all these copies and send it to you guys? I've got, stacks of receipts that I'm paying for. Why would I want to do that? That doesn't make any sense. I'm saying this, there has to be a process here where prisoners can submit a request and receive a receipt. I don't know if it could be on the same piece of paper, make it a perforated page where we hand it to an officer and they sign for it and it's dated right then and there on both pieces of paper. That way then nobody can say, hey, we didn't receive it. You have to sign for it. If a prisoner has to sign for it, the officer should have to sign for it as well. It's a simple thing. I did some prison time in Virginia, and every request that was submitted to the Department of Corrections had to be done on the request system, which was a perforated document. It had a receipt number on the top and on the perforated section. That way the perforated section is given to the prisoner and the request is submitted to wherever it had to go. But nobody can say, hey, this, we didn't receive it. The FOI law is only for 30 days. Just like the respondent said, they can only keep video or I don't know about written documents, but they're saying that video is only retained for 30 days, which is the limit for the request for the FOI commission. And if that lapses, which is what's going on here, is that they're saying that we're only receiving notification from the FOI commission when there's a hearing to be had. This is way past that. That means every request is going to be denied. I'm telling you, there's something has to be done here. It just doesn't make any sense.
Okay, thank you. Attorney Brown?
Yes, thank you. With respect to the complainants' request in this case, it was clear from the record that Mr. Velasco was seeking pages 88, the decryption of pages 88 and 100, which are two pages of 13 pages that were sent by the DOC to the FBI for de-encryption. The document that Mr. Velasco is referring to is Exhibit D, in which the FBI agent indicates that he left out page 57, not pages 88 and 100. Pages 88 and 100 appear not to have been decrypted, and therefore the department does not have the decryption of those pages. And that's what this decision turns on, whether or not the respondent conducted a diligent search for the records that he requested and whether it maintains them. The hearing officer found, based upon the facts and the evidence, that the department does not. And so the complaint has been dismissed. With respect to all of the other issues that the complainant has raised in this case, I could argue all day about the number of requests that the department receives from inmates and complies with without having the issues that are presented by Mr. Velasco. In fact, we had such evidence in the prior case that we were going to provide, but it turns not to be necessary. But there are thousands of inmate requests, and this commission only sees a small, tiny fraction of that, which I think bodes well for the commission's ability to receive requests in a timely fashion, respond to them with at least an acknowledgement within 4 days, and then provide the record. So I think Mr. Velasco is, you know, trying to distract the commission from the only issue that is here in this case, and that is the department does not have the requested records. We don't have pages 88 and 100. And with that, I ask the commission to adopt the hearing officer's report as written. But of course, if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them. Thank you.
Do any of the commissioners have any questions?
Mr. Chairman, this is Commissioner Chavez. I guess I am not clear at this point whether the first 11 pages are or were given to Mr. Velasco. It seemed like it from the hearing officer's report. And so the only thing in dispute was 88 and 100. But I guess I'd like confirmation. Maybe Attorney Perlman, if she's here, could address that.
Attorney Perlman.
Hi, good afternoon. So my understanding from the testimony provided at the hearing was that the only records that were at issue were the decryptions of pages 88 and 100, that the complainant had received the decryption information for the other pages that are listed in the report, and that he was specifically, and I actually had him clarify at the hearing what exactly was at issue. And again, it was the decryption of pages 88 and 100. And so based on the testimony that the respondents provided and the search that they conducted, they not only did they, so they checked with several different individuals to see whether in fact they did have decryptions for those two pages, and their testimony was that they couldn't locate any.
Okay, thanks for clarifying. That's all I had.
Any of the other commissioners have any questions? Right. So with that, I will conduct a roll call vote of those in favor.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, I'll move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Hankin, second.
Thank you. We need that first. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, I'll conduct a roll call vote. Commissioner Chavez?
Yes.
Commissioner Fuseschi?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Right, we'll move on to the next one, Mr. Velasco. It's FIC 2020-0278, Victor Velasco versus Commissioner, State of Connecticut Department of Correction, et al. Mr. Velasco, you're there, correct?
Yes.
And Attorney Brown, you're there for the state of Connecticut, correct?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Velasco, would you like to begin?
Yes. Again, I'd have to say I still feel prejudiced because I don't have access to my records. I don't have access to anything that I filed to this commission. I don't even know what I filed to this commission on this matter or the previous two, because I don't have them. But I'm looking at the hearing officer's report, and again, I just have to wing this. This was for a copy of video recording for April 9, 2020 of restrictive housing unit in front of cell 109 and the medical room located at the rear of the unit, which depicts me exiting the cell and heading towards the medical room with nurse Melissa and COs, and exiting the medical room and returning back to cell 109. And on this request, this is another request for video. And this, the denial of this by the hearing officer is based on the respondents claiming, again, that this video shows exits and locking mechanisms. They're not saying that they destroyed it. They're not saying that they recorded over it. This is their claim. However, I specifically asked for an in-camera review of this evidence, of these records, this video. And it was never done. The hearing officer just never did it. She claimed even in her report, I think it says, it's paragraph 11 in her report. In addition, the commission has consistently held that the commissioner of correction has reasonable grounds to believe that the disclosure of video recordings of the interior of correctional facilities may result in a safety risk within the meaning of section 1-210B18 of the general statutes. And then she claims several cases here, one including mine. But in order to determine whether or not a video depicts an actual risk or breach of security somewhere, wouldn't the hearing officer have to at least see it to see whether or not, especially when there was a request made, and the hearing officer didn't even do that? The hearing officer used these cases as the blanket cover to say, well, I don't need to view it. If the respondent says it is a safety risk, well, then I don't have to see it. But if I'm claiming that it does not, the hearing officer would have to see it. Even in a court of law, this is obvious. You can't just make a blanket decision without seeing the evidence. That's all I have on this one. And as a side, the same thing, the respondents again stated, we didn't receive notice of this until the commission notified them. This is a constant thing. I don't know. The commissioners, I don't know. You guys don't want to rule on this. You guys don't want to make a decision on this. You don't want to address this matter. Now, that's what I'm getting from all three of these cases and all my cases, that commissioners don't want to address this, even though you're getting complaints stating that this is a problem from prisoners. Now, even though it's a small percentage, as the respondent would have, you believe that percentage has got to be huge, because if thousands of cases that went before this commission, I'm pretty sure this commission has existed for a pretty long time, and 1,000, 2,000, I don't even think that's a huge number compared to all the cases that go before this commission. That's nothing. But I rest my case with that.
Thank you. Attorney Brown?
Yes, thank you. Again, this is Tracy Brown from the Department of Correction. I don't find in this case or in the prior decision any finding of fact that the respondents claimed that they did not receive the complainant's request. Again, this turns on a different element, which was that the video it falls within an applicable exemption. I would like to point out more specifically Mr. Velasco's request. If you see in paragraph 2, he asks for recordings of a specific housing unit, and he wants all angles. Now, we're not going to disclose how many angles they would be, but you could just, from his request itself, and then you look at the time period for which he wants, from 6 p.m. in the evening to 11:59 p.m. It's a lot of hours of video that Mr. Velasco is asking to have access to. And in that way, you will see the times at which the department is moving throughout the facility with other inmates, their security checks, and then the other areas of the facility itself in that particular area of that unit. With respect to the in-camera request, I don't recall, perhaps Attorney Perlman does, but I do not recall there being a request for an in-camera inspection. And even if he had made one orally, I believe Mr. Velasco can read the regulations and understand that he could have submitted a request for an in-camera inspection in writing at the conclusion of the hearing and, again, subsequent to receiving a copy of the commission, of the recommended decision. And finally, I'll say on that point that Mr. Campanelli, C.S. Campanelli, who testified that he worked at this facility for an extended period of time and was familiar with the area in which would be depicted in the video, and he testified from firsthand knowledge of what would be shown. So this wasn't some boilerplate testimony. He testified to what he actually knows, what would be shown in that facility. And so I don't believe that the hearing officer was in error and relying on credible testimony as opposed to looking to the looking at the video in camera. And with that, I think that the decision is well written and relies on the facts that was in evidence. And I urge the commission to adopt this hearing officer's report as well. And again, if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Excuse me, commissioners, can you look at paragraph 12 of the report? This is Victor Velasco.
Excuse me. Do any of the commissioners have any questions?
Ah, there it is. I stand corrected. He's right. It's there. As I said, I didn't remember.
Okay. Do any of the commissioners have any questions? None. Mr. Velasco, did you want to say something?
Yes. I believe the respondent corrected herself, but just to be a little bit more specific, paragraph 12 of the hearing officer's report states that the hearing, the complainant requested that the hearing officer order the respondent to submit the requested video recording for an in-camera inspection. And then she goes on to say the Supreme Court has found that unless the character of the documents in question is conceded by the parties, an in-camera inspection of the particular documents by the commission may be essential to the proper resolution of a dispute under the act. And it's quoting, I think that's Wilson versus Freedom Information.
Thank you. Do any of the commissioners have any questions? If not, I'd entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, I'll move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Chavez?
Yes.
Commissioner Fuseschi?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Velasco. Thank you, Attorney Brown.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Next. Docket number FIC 2019-0748, Christopher Peak and New Haven Independent versus Superintendent, New Haven Public Schools et al. Are you there, Mr. Peak?
Yes, I'm here.
Are you there, counsel, Alex Alexiades?
Yes, Ilya Alexiades here. Thank you.
Alexiades, sorry about that. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman? Sorry, this is Attorney Harmon. I was the hearing officer in this case. If I could, sorry to interrupt. I have a correction to suggest and then an amendment to suggest, and I'd like to know if I could do that now.
Yes, please.
Okay, so the first one in paragraph 3 is just a typo. The date in paragraph 3 says August 7th, 2012. It should be 2019. So that's just a correction. And then I'd like to suggest that the commission consider adding a new paragraph 23. So I would suggest that paragraph go right after paragraph 22. And this is what I would suggest it says. It doesn't change the outcome
of the decision, but this is what I would suggest. In this case, it is found that the city hired attorneys from Shipman and Goodwin LLP to conduct the investigation because it sought legal advice, period. And then I would quote, see Hsu versus FOI Commission, 245 Connecticut, 149, 160, open paren, 1998, closed parenthesis, period. And if I could just comment, Mr. Chairman, on why I think we should add that new paragraph and then renumber, so we would renumber 24, 25, 26. If I could just comment very briefly with your permission.
Please. Thank you.
Okay. So I looked at this case again as it came up to be considered, and I went through the testimony again. And I think it's very parallel to the Supreme Court decision in Hsu. And here's why. So the town manager from Rocky Hill was conducting an investigation into the chief of police's conduct to see if he should be terminated. And in conducting that investigation, he hired two lawyers. One lawyer was going to be hired, and he was going to just deal with transcripts and evidence from a civil case. But the other lawyer, Attorney Stillman, was going to interview town employees and look at what the evidence was and give legal advice to the town manager. So Attorney Stillman did her investigation and talked to witnesses and wrote up summaries and provided all that to the town manager. And then one of our requesters came along and wanted all of Attorney Stillman's documents that were in the possession of the town manager. The town manager said, no, those are attorney-client privileged. So the case came to this commission, and the commission rejected that attorney-client privilege claim, and we said that Attorney Stillman was neither hired nor acting as an attorney for the town, but was rather acting as an investigator with legal credentials. So the case went up to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court said that the record reveals that the town manager stated that he needed legal advice, and that's why he hired Attorney Stillman, that he knew Attorney Stillman was a competent lawyer, and that he wanted a lawyer to conduct the investigation and give advice. So I want to cite this case in this report because in this case we have attorneys hired by the superintendent of schools for New Haven Public Schools. Two Shipman and Goodwin attorneys were hired. And at the hearing, one of the attorneys who was hired, Attorney Milan, testified that she was hired to investigate the conduct of a principal and to make recommendations. So I do think that, sorry, am I here? Can you hear me?
Hello? Hello? I think the line just went dead.
Hello? Can anyone hear me?
I've still got you. This is Matt Reed, and I still hear and see Alicia.
Yeah. Hello? I can hear you, Attorney Reed.
Okay. I can hear you, Commissioner Egan.
Hello?
Commissioner Egan. Is that Chairman Egan?
Commissioner Egan.
I lost everyone. Is everyone there?
Yes.
I'm sorry, I lost you. I don't know what happened.
Can you hear us now, Commissioner?
Now, yeah, it just cut out about less than 15 seconds ago.
Okay, all right. So it's Attorney Harmon, and I'm just about done. So I feel constrained by the Hsu decision that the Supreme Court issued in 98. I see parallels to that case and this case, and that's why I'm recommending that the commission include that new paragraph 23. And thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, for letting me make that recommendation.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman? Yeah, this is Commissioner Streeter. I'd like to first take up the correction in paragraph 3. I would it seems like a scrivener's error, but since we're going to be doing an amendment, I'll move that we amend the hearing officer's report in paragraph 3 to reflect the correct date year.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion's made and seconded. Is there discussion on that amendment? Hearing none, all in favor of that amendment to paragraph 3, Please say aye when your name is called. Commissioner Chavez?
Yes.
Commissioner Chavez, excuse me, Commissioner Fuseschi?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
Commissioner Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes.
And continuing, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make an amendment for the request of the hearing officer to create a new paragraph 23, inserting the language of the hearing officer regarding the hiring of the attorney and the reference to the Shoe Case decision, and then renumbering the rest of the paragraphs.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion's been made.
Mr. Chairman.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion on that amendment?
Mr. Chairman, this is Attorney Alexiadis. The audio dropped out on the call during Attorney Harmon's presentation for about a minute. I think I heard all of it, but if I could hear the text again, please.
This is Attorney Harmon. Mr. Chairman, I'm glad to repeat that recommended paragraph 23 with your permission.
Yes, I think we're in the discussion phase. There's been a motion and there's been a second. Is that correct?
Yes,
that is correct.
Okay, so then we're in the discussion phase. Please, counsel.
So the amendment would read, in this case, it is found that the city hired attorneys from Shipman and Goodwin LLP to conduct the investigation because it sought legal advice, and then it would cite to the Shoe decision.
Thank you, Attorney Harmon.
Mr. Chairman, may I have the specific cite again, please?
So the citation, Shoe versus FOI Commission, 245 Connecticut 149, 160, 1998.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, so we have a motion to add a new paragraph 23. We have a second to that motion. Is there any further discussion regarding that amendment? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor of that amendment. Commissioner Chavez?
Yes.
Commissioner Fuseschi?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. The amendment passes unanimously. So, thank you, Attorney Harmon. Appreciate that. All right, so I would like to hear from Mr. Peek, please, and the New Haven Independent.
Yes, thank you. So Attorney Harmon laid out the gist of what happened in this case. There was a principal at a New Haven public school, an elementary school, who was placed on leave for about a year, and I requested documents about the investigation into what happened. An attorney was involved and did provide the kind of final findings of fact and recommendations to the superintendent, and although I might not wish it were so, it does seem legally okay that is off limits and is privileged. The bigger issue and the reason why I wanted to talk to you today is that the other issue that we spent a lot of time at the hearing discussing was whether documents that originated with New Haven Public Schools, records about this principal that were sent to the attorney, the outside attorney from Shipman Goodwin, in order to make her decision, whether those are public records that should be turned over. New Haven Public Schools had claimed that the privilege somehow extended those documents at the point in which they entered the attorney's possession, which legally did not make sense to me, and I don't think fits with a lot of case law. So the problem here is that if you can turn to page 4 in footnote 5, New Haven Public Schools did not follow the hearing commissioner's order in its entirety for the in-camera review. She very clearly, Attorney Harmon asked them to submit the report along with all 5 exhibits. New Haven Public Schools did not submit any of those exhibits. At the point of my initial request, or the initial production, I believe they turned over 2 of those 5 exhibits to me. I still have not received the other 3. So, unfortunately, only half the kind of important documents in this case have been reviewed. I think there's a very good case that records that employees of New Haven Public Schools initially produced and wrote that ended up in the outside attorney's files very well might be public records, but those do need to be reviewed, and I have not or turned over. I don't know exactly how the commission would want to handle that, but New Haven Public Schools did not comply with the initial order for an in-camera review of the full memorandum with all of its exhibits.
Is there anything further?
No, not for me. I can answer any questions too, but I think I'll just leave it there.
Okay, thank you. All right. Counsel?
Yes, Attorney Alexiadis here. Mr. Chairman, you called on Mr. Peek for Mr. Peek and the independent, and I don't want to get into the weeds, but when he answered the roll call, he said he was only here on behalf of himself, not the independent. But
would
you know, it's
clarify
it's,
that. Are you here on behalf of the New Haven independent?
I don't want to get into it. I'm just here representing myself. We can leave it at that.
Okay, so
I think the hearing officer's already dealt with that.
Okay.
But today I'm here representing myself.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, he's no longer employed by the independent, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, thank you.
I'm surprised to be hearing this for the first time today, given that it was addressed in the hearing officer's recommendation, or either addressed or not addressed, as Mr. B contends, because we surely could have dealt with this in advance of the hearing. But our position is that we have produced the privileged documents for in-camera review, and we have produced all the responsive documents to Mr. Peek. We, of the exhibits that to which he refers, some were non-responsive. Others were privileged. Others were responsive and provided.
Thank you. Is there anything further?
Mr. Chairman, it's Attorney Harmon, the hearing officer.
Yes.
I just want to say that footnote 5, I think, gives the parties a pretty good indication that the memorandum that I'm recommending be found privileged attached 5 exhibits. The in-camera order was to give me all of the exhibits that were not given to Mr. Peek, and so when the memorandum came in with no exhibits, it was my understanding, and I think you can see it there in the footnote, I assume that Mr. Peek got all the exhibits. I knew he had received 2 exhibits at the time of the hearing, so I was expecting the memorandum with 3 exhibits, and when there were no, because it refers to them, A, B, C, D, and E. So when I got the memorandum without exhibits, my understanding was that they must have given those exhibits to Mr. Peek. So I'd have to say that if there are any exhibits that are being claimed privileged, I think that perhaps the commission might want to consider remanding this to me because I haven't seen them. Now, if all of the exhibits that were not given to Mr. Peek were non-responsive, then that's different. But it would seem a little strange for an investigation document from an attorney to attach documents unrelated to the investigation. But so I don't know. I just throw that out there because, again, I received the memorandum from the attorneys to the superintendent, but I did not receive any exhibits. I see Commissioner Fuzeschi has his hand up.
Commissioner Fuzeschi.
You're on mute, Commissioner.
I have a question for the attorney for the New Haven Schools, please. I'm sorry, I have a complicated name too, as you do, but I can't pronounce yours either. But I do have a question on the footnote 5 for you.
Yes.
So you were in possession of the hearing officer's report, I assume?
Yes.
And you were had a chance to read it before today's meeting?
Yes.
Why did you not address this assumption that was in the her footnote 5 if you knew that she was relying on something that was not as stated here? Why did you not inform the commission or the hearing officer that, I'm sorry, your assumption there is factually not what has happened?
Commissioner, it's because I didn't read it that way.
It says that we assume that those have been delivered.
If I may finish?
Sure, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to.
I read that in the context of the request themselves, which was the request itself was for written findings of fact, written findings of fact, witness statements, and reports of discipline imposed. And that's how, based on that, we determined that that certain of the exhibits were not responsive, specifically exhibits C, and E.
If I may add one thing.
Yes.
Is that okay, commissioners?
Yes.
I just want to clarify that's factually inaccurate that I requested just those specific categories. I gave those as examples of types of documents I was looking for, but what I actually requested was records regarding alleged misconduct by Daniel Bonet Ojeda. And then I went on to say that those could include any written findings of fact from the investigation, any witness statements, whether written or recorded, and any reports of discipline imposed or penalties for future infractions. Just to clarify that, it was not exactly accurate that I'd only wanted those three very narrow categories of documents.
Commissioners, now Mr. Peek, if I may, this is Attorney Alexiadis again. Now Mr. Peek is taking issue with paragraph 12, I believe, with the characterization. I'm not sure if it's issues with my characterization or the characterization in the opinion.
Okay. Thank you. I'm not allowing any further discussion from the two presenters. Do any other commissioners have any questions?
Can I just, this is Commissioner Fusashi?
Yes.
Could I ask Attorney Harmon to respond to that characterization of the footnote that was just made by the attorney for New Haven? I'm confused. I have trouble reading it that way.
So my in-camera order, Commissioner Fusashi, was to give me the memorandum that was at issue with all attachments. I understood that Mr. Peek had received two of the exhibits, so I said, give me anything that you haven't given to Mr. Peek. When I didn't receive any exhibits on that memorandum, I assumed that the respondents had disclosed those additional exhibits to Mr. Peek. I'm wondering at this point, they say they're non-responsive, but I'm not hearing that they're privileged, and perhaps they could just disclose those additional exhibits to Mr. Peek at this time so that my assumption could then become correct. But that when I didn't see any of the exhibits being submitted for an in-camera review, I didn't think that perhaps they're non-responsive. I thought they must have reconsidered and given those to Mr. Peek, and that's why the last sentence in footnote 5 reads the way it does.
That is how I read your footnote.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if Attorney Alexiadis, or he's saying, I'm hearing him say they're non-responsive, but I'm not hearing him say they're privileged, so perhaps it might be something to consider. He's saying C and E. I understand at the time of the hearing, Mr. Peek had two of the 5 exhibits. Perhaps if it's simply that they weren't responsive to the request, that Attorney Alexiadis would consider disclosing those exhibits to Mr. Peek, again, to make my assumption correct, even though at this late date.
Attorney Alexiadis, would you respond to that, please?
Well, if it's not responsive and not if it's
So, I will be happy to review the matter again, and consider disclosing exhibits that are responsive and not privileged. We thought we submitted everything that was privileged for in-camera review, except to the extent that there were documents that were non-responsive and also privileged. Because we understood the purpose of the in-camera review was to determine privilege, not responsiveness.
So your answer
is not
maybe.
Responsive. Yeah. Yes. I mean,
your
if it's not responsive.
Maybe.
Yeah.
So you're not agreeing with Attorney Harmon to just provide those documents to the other side.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, at some point, Commissioner
Streeter.
Sure. I think we've already heard from the attorney on that. Just to follow up, Mr. Peake, he's been before us many times. I've had hearings with him. And his objection in the paragraph two, typically, historically, in the cases that I've heard as a hearing officer and in deciding as a commissioner, if somebody says they want all documents and then they therefore subsequently specify what they're looking for, that's usually narrowing the scope to that. So if he says he's looking for all documents and that he's saying that's not true. Well, it is true if you suddenly afterwards you're specifically then narrowing to this type of documents that he means by all documents. He's been here before. He should know that. As opposed to the attorney, Alexiadis, I would be in favor of remanding this to the hearing officer so that she can get these documents in camera to review. I don't appreciate the sort of waffling that's going on here to try and they were requested in camera. Suddenly they became non-responsive, and I think that I would go in that direction rather than try and approve a hearing officer's report on the fact that he's going to, do his due diligence to decide whether or not he's going to release them. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Do any of the other commissioners wish to respond?
This is Commissioner Chavez. Mr. Chairman, I would also be in favor of the remand that Commissioner Streeter is suggesting. My question, though, about that is whether my understanding would be that there would not be an opportunity for the respondent to assert new grounds for exemption beyond what was argued before, or I guess I'd like clarification on the purpose or the scope of the remand. Maybe Mr. Commissioner Streeter.
Streeter.
I hear where you're coming from on that, and I guess I would ask the hearing officer what it is that she would be looking for, whether she would then allow additional exemptions to be listed.
Commissioner Streeter, this is Attorney Harmon, and I would issue a new in-camera order that would say to give me all of the exhibits that were not disclosed to Mr. Peake. I don't think I would need another hearing, and then I could issue an amended report to address those additional three, I believe, exhibits. So I wouldn't even need to go back into a hearing. I have the evidence that was raised and the exemptions that were claimed. I would just issue a new in-camera order and a date by which those had to be delivered to me. And I wouldn't need the report, the memo from the attorney to the superintendent. I would only need the exhibits that were not given to Mr. Peake.
All right. Thank you. I guess that would be the way I would proceed. I'll wait to hear other comments from the commissioner before I make a motion.
Okay. Thank you. Are there any other commissioners who'd like to be heard?
I would support the motion for remand if I would support it if and when it came to a vote.
Anyone else? Okay.
So, Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, so I will make a motion that we remand this docket 2019-0748 back to the hearing officer for review so that she can issue a new in-camera report. Chris, we couldn't hear you.
Is there a second?
My dinner early. He's getting old.
That was a second.
Mr. Hankins, did you second?
Your audio, we can't hear you.
He said yes. I lip reading, but.
Mr. Hankins, can you say that you second, please?
Yes, I second that.
He's okay, really.
I heard him say he seconds it.
Bonus. Right.
Mr. Reed, Attorney Reed, did you pick that up?
Oh, Attorney Reed, you
can ask Attorney Reed.
Commissioner Hankins seconded it.
Okay, thank you. All right, the motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion on the motion to remand? Hearing none, I will take a roll call vote on the motion to remand. Of those in favor, Commissioner Chavez?
Yes.
Commissioner Fusashi?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
Commissioner Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. The matter is remanded to the hearing officer to review the in-camera records. All right.
Thank you, Commissioners. Thank you.
Thank you all. Thank you. Moving on, I've recused myself from the next matter, so I turn it over to you, Commissioner Streeter.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is docket FIC 2020-0134, Catherine Kamara and Rose Sobolewski versus the State Marshal Mark A. Ramo. Are the complainants here, Ms. Kamara and Ms. Sobolewski?
Yes.
And I apologize. Did I pronounce those correctly?
Yes, you did. Thank you.
Okay. Has anybody joined the meeting from the State Marshal or Mark Ramo? I guess not. So not hearing any, I know this seemed to be in your favor. You have the floor. One you want to start?
Yeah, this is Catherine Kamara. Thank you very much. So I apologize because when we were logging in, I had received an email that said the respondent was planning to attend, and I wasn't clear at that time. I wasn't sure if they said they were present. So now I realize that they're not present. And so really my only comments are that I am in agreement with Paula Perlman's hearing officer's decision because we did not ask for records of the State Marshal Commission, which is what the respondent basically alluded to. So I'm in favor of it, and I hope you'll ratify it today. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Ms. Sobolewski?
Yes, hi. This is Rose Sobolewski, and I'm pretty much echoing with what Catherine Kamara said. I agree with the determination given by hearing officer Paula Perlman, and I really was very impressed. It was really well written. I totally agree. I agree with the order prescribed that the respondent shall provide a copy of the requested records free of charge to the complainant. I just wondered if I might ask a question.
Sure, go ahead.
If the request had been to cover the period January 21st of 2016 to the present, and I hope that because this had been delayed for so long to take place, that we do mean even up until now, where we are in 2021.
I'll ask the hearing officer. Typically, it's to the date of the request. Let's see here. Is Attorney Perlman on?
Yes, hello again. Commissioner Streeter, you are correct. It would be to the date of the request, and in this case, it would be from January 21st, 2016 to March 6th, 2020. But it, it doesn't preclude the complainants from making a new request.
All right.
Thank you, Attorney Pearl.
Thank you. Okay, that's all I have to say. Thank
you. All right. Well, you got to listen to an exciting meeting. is there any comments from the commissioners or a motion? I take it that Chris, you were moving it. You were sort of quiet. They gave us a thumbs up. It didn't show up on the recording though. I think we need maybe one of the other commissioners can move it so we have the recording.
It's Commissioner Fusesh, I move adoption.
Okay.
And this is Commissioner Chavez. I'll second the motion.
All right. Thank you. It's been moved and seconded. Is there any further discussion? Not hearing any. We'll take a roll call vote of the commissioners. Commissioner Chavez.
Yes.
Commissioner Fusesi?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins? Okay, Commissioner Hankins has given a thumbs up on the electronic media. Myself, Commissioner Streeter, votes yes, and the chairman, Owen Egan, is recusing himself. So the measure passes. Thank you to Ms. Kamara and Ms. Sobolewski. You have a good afternoon. I turn the docket back over to the chairman, Commissioner Egan.
Thank you. All right. It looks like that was the last matter. On report on pending appeals. Attorney Murphy.
Mr. Chairman, we do have one more matter. Mr. Lee, 2020-0371. Is Mr. Lee still there?
Did I miss that?
Yes.
Mr. Lee,
I'm still here.
Okay.
I apologize. I did miss that.
So got it. Okay.
Number 2020-0371, Mark Lee versus Building Official, Office of Building Inspection and Enforcement, City of New Haven, et al. So, Mr. Lee, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Is there anybody there from the City of New Haven?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. This is Attorney Ilya Alexiadis, Assistant Corporation Counsel. My apologies. I did not answer the roll call because I needed to confirm in the interim whether one of my colleagues was appearing on this matter, but I am.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
All right, so
you're welcome.
And Mark Lee, you're there, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you. So, Attorney Alexiado, would you like to begin?
No, I thought it was Ms. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, but I thought it was Mr. Lee that wanted to be heard.
You don't wish to be heard? The decision
I'm prepared.
That's fine.
I understand the decision is against us, Mr. Chairman.
No problem. Thank you.
But I'm Mr. Lee has to be heard, and so I will if I'm able to, I'll respond to what he has to say.
I understand. Thank you. Mr. Lee, would you like to begin?
Yes. The verdict was against the city, but the wording was as far as the wording on the decision. The decision said that the city took 8 months to turn over evidence to me, but the evidence that was turned over to me wasn't all the evidence that I requested. I requested a check, a copy of a check that was paid for through the City of New Haven's Building Department. Now they're claiming to me that they don't have that check, which my question is, can they just, this is 2020 and everything is done through electronically. And again, I'm a contractor. Every time I go down to the city or prior to the new portfolio that they have now, you would have to go down to the city. They would take a copy of the check, give you on the print, it will be, on the permit number, there will be a check number and everything on the your permit. Which the copy of that permit, there is a copy of the the check number and everything on that permit. So why can't the city get that check, a copy of that check, and turn it over to me? Why can they just say, oh, we don't have it, and then that's be the end of it? That's one of the gripes. And then the other gripe is that the documents that they did turn over to me is been, in my eyes, it's been changed. It's been doctored. It's been whited out, copied over. And I want the original document. I want a copy of the original document. And can anybody, the same thing. Can they just say, well, we don't have it? And then that's it? That's the end of the matter? As far as the copy of that check?
Okay. Thank you. Attorney Alexiades?
We can, Mr. Chairman, commissioners, we can only give Mr. Lee what we have. And the hearing officer heard the testimony. And we are, you know, I understand that he's not happy with the quality of other records, but we don't alter the records that we have. We provide them. So, you know, in terms of, so I'm hearing two issues. One, he's looking for a copy of a check. Number two, he's not happy with the quality of the record. I can't do anything about the quality of the record. And in terms of a copy of the check, if I understand it, he's looking for somebody else's check, not a city check. He's looking for a check.
I'm looking for a check that was taken.
Mr. Lee, you have to ask for permission to speak. So right now, the attorney has the floor. He'll be speaking, but I'll come back to you and you'll be able to talk. Okay.
All right. I'm sorry.
Not a problem.
So,
counsel.
As I understand it, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners, that Mr. Lee is looking for a copy of a check that was received by the city in payment for a permit. And if that's the case, again, we can only provide what we have.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Lee?
Yes. Oh.
Did you wish to say something?
Yes. I'm still wondering if the city received that check. And that check was, and their procedures is they take copies of all the checks that they received as far as the building department. What I'm asking is, one, they have to turn that check over to somebody to keep records of money that they're getting for each permit. How would they not have a copy of that check? This is a record that they keep, that one, they got to keep in their department. Two, they have to turn over to their accounting department. How could they not have a copy of that check? Did it just disappear?
Mr. Chairman, this is Kathleen Ross. I was the hearing officer. May I be heard?
Yes. Thank you, Attorney Ross. Yes.
I think this conversation has gone a little bit down the wrong path. This request was not a request for checks. This was a request for building permits. Mr. Lee may have other pending complaints that in which copies of checks may have been requested, but this hearing was just about these building permits. There was no discussion of any checks. So I hope that's helpful.
Thank you. Okay. Do any of the commissioners have any questions for the parties
or for anyone else? Okay. Hearing none, I'd entertain a motion.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I'll move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Mr. Streeter moved to adopt the yes. hearing officer's report. Is there a second?
Commissioner Hankins is trying to. He's giving thumbs up. I know for verbal, I'm guessing.
Is there anyone else who might want a second that can be heard?
Commissioner Fuseschi, I would second.
Okay. Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Chavez?
Yes.
Commissioner Fuseschi?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
Thank you. Commissioner Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. It passes unanimously. Thank you, Mr. Lee. Thank you, counsel. All right. So I think that does it for the docket. I think we have everything. So we're now moving on to report on pending appeals. Attorney Murphy.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. On pending appeals, I'll ask Attorney McGee to speak to us about a decision that was just released, I think the day before yesterday, in Mr. Boster's appeal of one of your decisions. And Judge Cordani upheld the decision of the commission, and I'll let Attorney McGee speak to that.
Hi, commissioners. So this was a case that was heard by Attorney Victor Perpetua while he was still with us before retirement. Takes us back to 2018. A former UConn professor had made a request of UConn for, he used the word evidence, that it was the union for the professors that had inserted certain language into a collective bargaining agreement way back in the 1970s. And UConn had looked at that request from the perspective of trying to identify records pertinent to this particular provision, wherein the requester really wanted to get an answer from UConn about whether there was evidence that the union had made this recommendation. And so that led to the appeal to the commission, and Attorney Perpetua took a look at the records in camera. They were a draft of a collective bargaining agreement with some notations on them, and UConn claimed that these records that had been withheld were exempt under B1 and B9, the preliminary drafts exemption and the exemption for the negotiations of collective bargaining agreements. So in finding against Mr. Boster and his appeal to us, he appealed to the Superior Court, really raising three issues, that the commission erred in not making a determination as to whether these withheld records constituted the evidence he sought. He also disputed that the records were exempt from disclosure, and he claimed that he wasn't treated fairly by the hearing officer or by the commission. And in dismissing the appeal, the court agreed with the commission that it really wasn't within the commission's purview to force UConn to answer Mr. Boster's question about whether these records constituted evidence, nor was it appropriate for the commission to opine on that. And the court also found that our findings and conclusions with respect to these records were appropriate, as was our order of dismissal, that these were a preliminary draft with notes on them pertaining to the negotiation of this collective bargaining agreement. The court also concluded that the plaintiff failed to prove that there was any irregularity with respect to the procedures at the hearing and before the commission. So all in all, a good win for us.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Are there any questions?
Okay. Thank you, Attorney McGee. We had one other item, just some late breaking news. I don't want to steal Attorney Reed's thunder. Maybe you can report on our transfer to the Supreme Court. Can you take care of that, Matt?
Sure. It's Attorney Matthew Reed. I had a case that was before the appellate court. It was Drum versus the Freedom of Information Commission. This was where the commission ordered the release of cold case investigative records from the Madison Police Department and ordered them to be disclosed. The town of Madison and their police chief, Chief Drum, appealed that decision to the appellate court. And we received notice today that the Supreme Court has reached down and grabbed the case, and so it'll now go before the Supreme Court. The same briefing schedule remains, so I think the Madison's briefs are due on the 31st of January, and then ours will be due about 30 days after that. So so that case will continue up. It's an important question. Cases involving records involving particularly homicide investigations or other open police investigations, at what point are they available for release? And are they prejudicial to a prospective law enforcement action? And what exactly did the legislature mean when they wrote that language? And I think those are going to be a couple of the primary issues before the Supreme Court.
Thank you. Are there any questions? All right.
Okay, thank you, Attorney Reed. And moving on from that, on the executive director's report, I'll just report that our internal staff reopen FOI team met last week, and we revisited our ideas from our prior meeting, which we had hoped to launch a plan to maybe go back to in-person hearings in the spring. And we've decided to just kind of slow that down just a little bit, and are hopeful maybe more that maybe perhaps in June or so that might be appropriate. We're, you know, of course, keeping our eyes on the pandemic and the various variants that are coming out. And for now, we think we ought to proceed the way we have been doing so far. We are ready to, I'd say, launch our virtual FDR software, and we're going to get our attorneys together to get a little bit of training on that, and we're putting a plan in place to start doing hearings using that software, which, as I've said before, will enable us to expand our ability to do hearings, to either do dual hearings or just be able to hold a few more in one day's time. So that's where we're headed at this time with that. I don't have anything else under the executive director's report, nothing under our staff reports. On the legislative report, of course, the legislative session is almost around the bend. It'll be in the new year. It won't be till the beginning of February, but Paula and I have begun some conversations about possible recommendations to the commission for a legislative package that at this point will probably just be some clarifications in the statute, but we're talking among the staff members again, and we'll see what the staff has to recommend to you, and I hope to bring that before you in January, hopefully at the first meeting, but certainly in advance of the legislative session starting, because we would need to bring that before the GAE committee. So that's coming soon, I guess, maybe sooner than some of us would like, but the session is coming upon us. And I had added to the agenda that the moment of silence, which the chairman took up at the beginning of the meeting for Commissioner Jay Shaw, but I'm just hopeful with your indulgence that I could just say a word about Jay, and if anybody else wanted to, I'd certainly welcome that. But just want to recognize Jay and say that he had a great sense of humor and he had a great sense of honor about serving on the commission. And unfortunately, due to his increasing health issues, he was unable, as you know, to really be with us in person, even pre-pandemic. But it was always his goal to get back, to be all together with all of you. And, you know, I feel really badly that he wasn't able to do that. But I want to thank him posthumously for his service and thank his family, his wife, Miriam, who I spoke to, and his children, who we really loved very much. But thank him for his service, for our very noble commission, and the work that he did on our behalf.
I wish to thank him as well. This is Owen Egan. He was a very kind and generous soul. I knew him both at the commission level and then outside of the commission level. He was very kind to me and my family, and I really appreciated having him on the commission and his great insight. I'll miss him, as I'm sure we all will.
Okay, so thank you. So with that, there's no new business, and unless you have some questions for me, of course, I'm ready to adjourn if you are.
I just want to make a shout, just maybe we should just a shout out to Paula and Danielle on the team that worked on this COGEL, again, this multi-state review. I just want to keep saying, at least from my perspective, that is really something important that the Connecticut FYC staff does, and it deserves widespread dissemination and recognition that we continue not only to develop law here, but assist others around the country to be up with the law. So I'd like to just mention for the commissioners and then to Tom Hennick and others who I know helped and worked, it's great that we keep putting this up on our website, and I hope this year's will be added to the list that's there. And I was wondering if we could give a little thought to another way to maybe make it a little bit more prominent, maybe put it on our opening page for a couple of weeks or otherwise distribute it to the legal community or the law schools. But it's really important and good work, and I want to give a shout out to all the people that worked on it, of course, including you, Colleen, but particularly Danielle and Paula, who I guess are the main people that do the main work on it, but with others of you helping. So anyway, I appreciate it, and I think others who would see it would appreciate it in the bar community here and other places. So maybe we can find other ways to get it to people besides COGEL. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. I think that it's a very good idea, and it's a labor for Danielle and Paula almost single-handedly before her. It's the entire year is spent working on that report, and it does deserve probably greater circulation than it gets. I know the people in the COGEL community really appreciate it. Nobody else in that community is willing to really take on that job. So, although we're not overflowing with resources, it's something that we take very seriously and we put up there as a very important mission of ours. So I will definitely take your comments, Commissioner.
Maybe as time allows, we could forward it to the law schools here in Connecticut, maybe to some other organization, but certainly give it a little prominence on our website for a little while.
Sure.
And then, thank you. Thank you.
My guest at my meeting today was put to sleep by all our activities. Didn't keep her excited.
Even with the blinking lights in the back? Maybe it's the blinking lights that did it.
She stopped noticing those days ago. She ain't used to it. I'll move that we adjourn.
I second your motion. Thank you, Commissioner.
Seconded. I'll take a roll call.
Happy holidays to all, and hopefully we'll all be here next year to be together again.
You're here.
Hope so.
Thank you. Happy holidays to everyone. I'll take a roll call of those in favor of adjourning. Commissioner Chavez?
I vote yes, and I also wish everyone happy holidays and happy new year.
Thank you. Commissioner Fuseschi?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
He says yes.
Commissioner Streeter?
I say yes.
Thank you. And Owen Egan, yes. So we're adjourned. Again, happy holidays, happy new year. Thank you, everyone.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.